you look so sad. Tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now. Don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back to discuss another week of Glee. The countdown is on, ladies and gentlemen. It's currently Thursday when we're recording, and the show returns next week.
Tuesday night.
Now, Jennifer, you're actually going to be in Chicago next week without me.
So I can see it 2 hours before you.
You will, and you will taunt me.
Oh my God, you're in Chicago?
I am.
Is there a chance you could spare like an hour?
Well, getting to you would be much longer than an hour.
No, not if we meet halfway. Not really.
Actually, Chicago. I'm not going to have a car, and I am working a video game conference. But we can talk about that later.
Yes, maybe.
Okay, well, we shall. Maybe we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer's going to be in Chicago next week, which means we might be recording this three-way Skype, because we have to record next week to talk about the big triumphant return.
Or maybe I'll just leave a really long rambling message on your voicemail, and you can just insert my clips when necessary.
Oh,
when
that sounds fun. you know, we're kind of in Glee.
Okay.
It's like mad Glee everywhere on the television. The promos are going like wild.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of public appearances. There was a new promo that actually features Charisse, the foreign exchange student cast member. Let's go ahead and give a listen to that.
You missed the music. You dreamt of the drama. But on September 21st at 8, 7 Central, the wait is over.
It's time to feed McGimp.
The phenomenon returns.
Next, get out.
For a new school year.
U.S. history. I forgot I was taking that.
A new direction.
We have to go from a small rebel force to a giant wall of sound.
And old enemies become frenemies when they take on a new beast.
Shannon Beast, I'm the new football coach. Spelled B-E-I-S-T-E. It's French.
This season of Glee has got so much more. Killer competition. Awesome guest stars.
What? Yeah.
It's gonna be unforgettable.
Nationals are in New York this year.
Get ready for the best season yet.
So that is the promo for Glee Season 2. A couple things that jump out of us. We have Charisse and Lea Michele performing that cover of Telephone. Is that right, Ed?
Of course.
Yes, we could psychoanalyze the promo all day, but the only other thing that jumps out at me is Jennifer, when they're performing Empire State of Mind, those are the steps of the San Diego Convention Center where they host Comic-Con every year, because I'm a great big nerd.
So that's not New York or Ohio?
That's neither. Neither New York nor Ohio.
Well, I mean, they also have outdoor lockers, which wouldn't happen in Ohio either.
So true.
Yeah, without a doubt. I grew up in Southern California. I know of the three of us, I'm the only one who grew up in Southern California. So I thought that indoor lockers was something that only happened on television. I did not know that real people had indoor lockers. But
I thought outdoor lockers only happened on
television.
It happened
on television, too.
Thanks.
I know.
How weird is that?
How can you possibly get your get to your locker outside when there's 4 feet of snow? Right, Ed? You with me?
Correct. Yes, definitely. I don't even want to go to class when there's 1 feet of snow.
Never. The only classes I made that were the ones that connected by a tunnel that went under my building, across the street, and underneath the quad. Those are the only classes that I went to at school, in college.
Okay, mind you, I grew up in a city where the average temperature is about 75, and the lowest it ever gets is about 70, and the highest it ever gets is about 85. I honestly don't know why you would even go to school in 4 feet of snow.
But yet you own more jackets than anybody else I know.
Because I look awesome with shoulder pads. Moving on. So that is the new promo. It's very exciting, and it's getting us all very excited. Jennifer, I was going to say, like, scale 1 to 10, how excited are you about season 2? But that sounds like an incredibly fangirl question.
I'm very excited. I'm 9.5.
9.5. Now,
because I have a little, you know, there's always that, like, oh, wait, if they change it, I'm not going to like it. That'll be disappointing. So that's the only reason I'm not, you know, 10 plus.
Now, Ed, you're a bit more plugged in with, like, human beings that watch Glee, since we don't really know anyone that watches the show. What's the sentiment with the people you're talking to? Are people excited about it? Are they reticent? Are they even paying attention?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's really excited. Everyone's just, like, looking forward to, like, what's going to happen. And everyone seems to forget that whenever a Glee episode happens, it challenges what we know about the characters. So it's like they just, like, throw the dice up in the air sometimes, and, like, stuff happens, and sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't matter. So it's like people can't be too set in their ways with, like, oh, Rachel's going to be like this type of person, because it's not going to be like that, because they hate us. So pretty much. And it's exciting this way.
Well, that is true. It is more exciting. Definitely want to thank listener Joey for sending us that clip. I don't want to forget to say that. Jennifer, now you're plugged in on the interwebs and the gossip blogs. Now, what's the tone on the gossip blogs about Glee Season 2?
Okay. I have not been on they didn't in about 3 weeks.
I don't believe you.
Probably two. I'm way behind. Life's just kind of taking its toll right now, so I haven't read a thing.
Ed, have you been following season 2 on the interwebs?
Oh yeah, of course. Well, actually, I haven't really been, like, I used to read every post from ONTD. Now I just, like, go on there and click the Glee link and the Lady Gaga link.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's interesting stuff in there, but whatever. It'll be fine if I don't read it. I read this really interesting article about homelessness and how that the Glee kids' storylines are, like, the perfect recipe for youth homelessness, which is kind of interesting. Like, I always, like, you kind of think about that, like, Quinn was displaced and
Interesting. Huh. Well, people teenagers on television usually they switch homes a lot more than anyone I ever knew in high school. Like, I never really knew anyone in high school that wasn't living with their parents or maybe an aunt. But on television, everyone's living with their boyfriend's family. They're, you know, might not be so local to Glee.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, we had a couple of neighborhood kids live with us at different points. And, you know, we've got a good friend who grew up in his best friend's house, so all through high school.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Jake.
Oh. Well, okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, like, he spent his high school years living in somebody else's house, so, yeah, that's...
It happens.
It happens, yeah. Yes, it happens.
I don't think it's a new thing. Maybe it seems to happen more
on television.
Okay.
Than I knew.
Than you knew.
Yes. Okay. Totally anecdotal evidence. We got lots of responses on the topic of last week, which is musical television shows. Naming several that we did forget. The most oft mentioned was a British show entitled Britannia High. It only lasted one season, which it consisted of 9 episodes and aired in 2008. That we'd go ahead and take a listen to the theme, because this is totally Ed-tastic.
I'm scared.
Essentially, the plot of Britannia High is pretty much Glee meets Fame, shall we say. It's like a performer's high school that these kids audition to get into, and they have very Glee-like dramas in their lives that they overcome with song and friendship.
Aww.
Here's a bit of the opening track to a Britannia.
Now I know where to go. I'm not following a crowd, but there's so many faces staring at me. I'm not going with the flow. I gotta wave goodbye and say hello to unfamiliar
So it was kind of like Glee, except that all the dance numbers were in, were like music videos, you know, kind of outside of the bounds of reality, the way Glee tries to keep its musical numbers somewhere within the bounds of reality. It was produced and choreographed by West End and Broadway veteran Arlene Phillips, with original songs by Gary Barlow from Take That. And I believe the first listener to send that over was listener Michelle from Scotland, but it is hard to find. Even with my creative, somewhat dodgy methods, I struggled to find complete episodes of Britannia High. So that was the other one thrown out. We also had lots of mentions of shows about bands that we did not mention, because I said, hey, you know, if it's about a band, kind of cheating a little bit. But a lot of people disagreed with that. Ed, had you heard of Britannia High at all?
No, but I definitely could have seen myself liking that a lot. I don't know. Without the nostalgia factor, I'm not super in love with it. What I don't like about it is that it's a performing arts high school.
Yes.
And the problem with the setting of that is that you have a certain type of person that goes to those things, or a certain set of people type, and like you don't have like those same dynamics like you have in Glee. That's what makes Glee more successful, I believe, than Britannia High was.
That's a really good point. I mean, having seen a couple episodes of Britannia High, and Fame for that matter, the biggest struggles I have with those shows is that it is a whole bunch of Rachel Berrys. And what makes Glee, I think, unique is that there is such a variety of personalities, where in a performing arts high school, everybody thinks they're going to be a star. Everybody thinks that they're the best. And so you have a bit of a... it's a bit one note in your characterizations. The best you can do is the person who wants to be a star that's actually talented, the person who wants to be a star who has a heart of gold, you know, and subtle variations on that topic. So you make a very good point, Ed. Did you want to say that?
Oh, no. It didn't even dawn on me when we were talking about last week, you know, like shows like Fame, mm-hmm. because it's, yeah, it's, I guess like the band thing, it's sort of cheating in a way. But and then the performing arts school, you have more than just singers. And, you know, in this particular instance, they sing and dance. But that's, you know, performing arts schools, you have so much more.
Yes, Britannia High is entirely singers and dancers. But that's correct. Fame did have actors, though they weren't really the focus of the show.
Actors, musicians,
the focus
no.
was always Coco and Leroy. Never Bruno.
Bruno? No.
Who played the piano? Was that Bruno?
Bruno.
He was my favorite.
Keys.
He had big hair. So we did get a couple of reviews of the Glee book. Thank you very much to listeners Alexa and Emily, who reviewed the Glee book for us. We have not had a chance to read the Glee book. I've been emailing the printers of the Glee book to try to get a copy.
Seriously.
I suppose I could just fork over $10, but...
Yeah, we tried to meet them at Comic-Con, but of course they weren't there.
It did not work. So maybe, I don't know if we're going to, we might just boycott the Glee book. I don't know. But both reviews were that it was just okay. Listener Alexa had a really nice email. She said, so I was supposed to be reading The Catcher in the Rye for a class assignment this morning, but instead I downloaded the Glee book and got quite an interesting result. She says, first off, Kurt's last name is spelled Hamill rather than Hummel. There's a typo.
That's probably a typo. Yeah.
She says there's a typo on the first page.
Nice.
So she doesn't know who's actually proofreading these things. And she goes on to say, she goes on to say, the book is exactly what you would guess it would be. For example, on page 8, quote, she took a deep breath. I'd like to start off with a tune from the seminal classic that we all know and love, Singing in the Rain. In a second, she was belting out her rendition of Good Morning, and as she sang, she imagined her words drifting through the loudspeakers of every classroom, every student in school, enthralled by the beauty of her voice. Which pretty much seems like you're describing an episode of the show, just without the actual music.
Yeah.
Listener Alessa describes it as like watching Jersey Shore and then trying to go back to the real world. So, oh wait, that was her description of going between that book and The Catcher in the Rye.
Oh.
I totally messed that one up. But anyway, thank you very much for that. I suppose we should get around to reading the Glee book at some point. It seems
sure.
like a requirement. There's also the Glee comic, which is out there, and many books about the making of Glee, fan books and, you know, books to, for fans to learn about the background and the history. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun. But the Gleeverse is relatively quiet right now because we have the countdown to the show, so that's quite exciting. But we thought before we get started there, we had some requests to discuss Corey and Leah, the characters of Finn and Rachel. I suppose those are the center, the romantic core of the show. So that's definitely a lot of people's favorite characters. And let's go ahead and listen to one of their many... let's go ahead and we'll start with Corey, and here's Corey's, I guess, kind of first solo on the show when he did Can't Fight This Feeling in the shower. This is the fully recorded version, so he's not actually performing in the shower, as my computer decides.
That's disappointing.
You wish they had specifically the shower version, Ed?
Yeah, like they could do some, like, there's like reverbs and they could just put the shower reverb. That'd be fun.
Well, here's a bit of maybe in post after we finish recording here, I'll put this through a filter so it sounds like he's singing in the shower.
Just trying to justify buying all the sound effects.
Water running down the drain. here is Corey Monteith with Can't Fight This Feeling.
And even as I wander, I'm keeping you in sight. You're a candle in the window on a cold winter's night, and I'm getting closer than I ever thought I might, and I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I've started fighting for. It's time to bring this ship into the shore. This feeling anymore. My life has been such a whirlwind since I saw you. I've been running round in circles in my mind, and it always seems that I'm following you, girl.
I believe that was my song with my high school girlfriend. I don't remember. That sounds vaguely familiar. But it has to be like one of the cheesiest songs ever. But it's awfully catchy.
It is. I thought it was a much older song than your...
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. I Was Never Cool. We've been through this.
Right.
Ed, were you familiar with this particular song before it was on Glee?
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic. I knew this song.
It's a classic. REO Speedwagon. He's a classic. Well, Corey Monteith was born in 1982. He's a Canadian actor, obviously best known for the role of Finn. He also appeared in Final Destination 3, Whisper, and Deck the Halls, as well as many TV shows. What do those three movies have in common, Jennifer?
Wait, Deck the Halls?
Whisper and Final Destination 3, other than the fact that I saw them all.
They were all 3D?
No, they were all shot in Canada.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That wasn't going to guess that one.
Riveting trivia. Thank you, Josh.
Well, you know, that's what a lot of these shows have in common if you go through. Smallville, you also appeared on Kyle XY, Smallville, Supernatural, Flash Gordon, Stargate Atlantis, and Stargate SG-1. Oh. They're all shot in Canada, and when you shoot in Canada, a certain percentage of your cast has to be Canadian.
Yes.
Which is why, if you live in Vancouver, British Columbia, you can get a lot of acting work.
From the Sci-Fi Channel.
From the Sci-Fi Channel, specifically. Yes, in 2005, this is according to Wikipedia, in 2005 he appeared in Killer Bash, a film about a tormented geek soul taking revenge on his murderer's children by taking over a girl's body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Yeah. Something tells me the director of Killer Bash added that to the Wikipedia page. Just going to throw that out. He also appeared in Urban Legend, Bloody Mary, the MTV series Kaya. But of course, we know him from Glee. You know, as far as the Glee cast, he was kind of the biggest surprise to me that he came so far out of nowhere but had such a significant role. I mean, even the stories of the fact that he'd never sang before the audition.
Any, this background stuff, I thought he was like... MySpace audition practically.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, pretty much everybody on the show, or at least the main people, you know, they were mildly recognizable. I mean, Lea Michele was recognizable if you knew Broadway, but I certainly knew the name. Mm-hmm. Matthew Morrison I'd heard of, but I'd never heard of Corey Monteith. So he definitely came out of left field. Where did we see him on the Sci-Fi Channel? He was in a movie called Hybrid, which was like a sci-fi original. Yeah, Corey. Oh. With Justine Bateman. But he has a very funny IMDb page. If you go through, there's a lot of credits like Frat Cowboy, Windsurfer Bob, Lip Ring, or Scooter Guy.
Nice. So, wait, was Scooter Guy the title or was that his character?
That was his character in White Noise 2, The Light.
Wow.
In Whisper, he played Teenage Boy. In Deck the Halls, he portrayed Madison's date.
Wow.
So,
so basically, he's just a guy, your go-to guy for guy.
For guy, yeah. He could very well be in the anonymous white tough guy movie. He is. He did film a movie called Monte Carlo, though, in 2011. That seems to be his first big role. So we look forward to that. That's still in post-production, so no one really knows what it is. But it'll be interesting to see what he does outside of Glee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that they say he'd never sang live until he sang in the audition for Glee. He performed Billy Joel's Honesty. It makes you wonder what the people on the show saw in a guy who had very little experience. And, you know, maybe you notice this, Ed, but supposedly the rumors on the interwebs is that he is by far the most auto-tuned singer on the show. Do you hear that?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but that doesn't make me angry. And I mean, it's just a studio trick. I mean, Lord knows I do it.
I mean, it's good auto-tune. But, you know, in as much as any auto-tune.
Yeah, it isn't
good.
Like the mechanical auto-tune. It's like the actual pitch correction. I mean, it's probably the reason I could sit through a Lindsay Lohan album without killing myself. So. Whatever.
Well, you know, seeing him live, his voice wasn't amazing. But it was better than I'd expected, considering the rumors that go around on the internet about his ability.
Oh, if he was terrible, he wouldn't be on the show. He is at least
capable. Is that a word? Terabad?
I've been using that word a lot as of the past 3 weeks. I'm making it a word. Terabad.
You're driving it home.
It's going to be right home. After OM Glee.
Like, it's, well, see, there's been lots of failed catchphrases by Ed, but I have faith in the Terabad.
That's awesome.
Well, yes, the story of his audition is that his first audition, he submitted a tape of him playing the drums with Tupperware, and then submitted a second musical tape in which he performed Can't Find This Feeling, and then performed Honesty with them live. So, you know, he has an interesting history. But he does play Finn Hudson, and it's hard to really talk about Corey, because Corey really doesn't have that much to talk about yet. Yeah. He's mainly just Finn. I think if I met him, I would see him as Finn. I think it would be hard to separate him in person.
Yeah, he doesn't have any other known persona or thing to label him with.
Well, he's also one of the lesser... You don't see him very often in the... about town photography. Like, there's lots of about town photos of Matthew Morrison making out with Heather Brooke, and there's lots of about town photos of Lea Michele showing off her tattoos.
I've been seeing lots of Diana Agron lately.
Oh, yeah, she's everywhere.
She's kissing her boyfriend everywhere.
Yeah, but I haven't seen very many photos of Corey Monteith just, you know, going to the Starbucks or whatever it is he does. But he does play Finn Hudson on the show. Finn Hudson being kind of, I guess, the male teenage lead on the show. And, you know, my question for you to Ed and Jennifer is Finn stupid?
No.
Or is he just not quick? Like, how do we feel about Finn's character? It's brave to have your main character not be very bright.
Naive.
Interesting.
He's naive, and I think he lacks a certain level of confidence. I think he definitely, you know, at moments has great confidence, you know, maybe on the football field or basketball, whatever, but he just, he seems like he just doesn't have the confidence. Maybe it's because he didn't have, you know, the dad to say, you're great all the time growing up. But, yeah, he's just not much confidence and not real quick on the uptake.
So he's not stupid. He's just a little slow.
Yeah, I don't think he's incapable of figuring it out. I just think it takes a little bit longer and, you know, with more practice.
Ed,
the next time a girlfriend tells him she gets pregnant in a hot tub and they didn't have sex, he might catch on a little quicker.
I think the word I'd go with is trusting and a little bit gullible. Like,
yes.
Finn kind of believes everything you tell him. And he's extremely trusting. I mean, Finn pretty much believes that no one would lie to him. And that, you know, the world is a reasonably rosy place. Ed, you would use the word naive. I mean, so you're not, you think that he just needs a little more experience in the world?
Well, I mean, not to say his life was, I mean, not to say that his character's life was, like, perfect, but it, all in all, it didn't seem that tragic until recently, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's the point I was trying to, that was my vantage point.
Well, his father did die in the first Iraq War. I think that's how he referred to it.
Yeah. I feel like that wasn't enough. Like, obviously it wasn't, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had hardships, but not really, I guess.
Not to the point of what the show has put him through since the start. At one point, I had a big problem with Finn because I'll admit, I've seen all of the High School Musical movies, and I actually don't mind the first one. The other two are trash, but the first one's kind of fun. But the biggest problem I have with the first High School Musical film, is that that movie is about two people triumphing over really no adversity. Like, the two characters in High School Musical, what are they, Gabrielle and Troy, they're gorgeous, they're talented, they're well-liked. And yet the whole movie is about them triumphing over the fact that the only thing that the world doesn't want them to do, they want to do. Oh, and by the way, they're really good at it. The whole, like, so not only is Troy already captain of the basketball team, the most popular kid in school, has great parents that love him very much.
And support everything
And support
does.
Everything he does. Exactly. But he's also a great singer and dancer. And the whole movie is about him realizing that he's a great singer and dancer on top of the fact that he's already perfect.
Because it goes, I believe I mentioned this before, we're becoming a society of haves and have-nots.
Haves and have-more. Yeah, exactly.
Or don't have any of it.
There you go. But so I had a bit of a problem with Finn early on because I kind of felt like, well, he's already captain of the football team. Does he really need to be, you know, the lead guy in Glee as well? But I think they've done a good job of kind of, you know, shaping him as you said, Ed, adding in the insecurity. I think that if he was wildly confident, like Troy and Gabriella, it wouldn't be as interesting to watch him succeed. I don't know. Jennifer, did you have this problem with Finn where it's just kind of, he's already captain of the football team. Does he really need to be the lead male vocalist in New Directions as well?
You know, no, I didn't. Because, again, it just, I don't know. Like, it was different, you know.
Well, you forget that Lima, Ohio is like, they proclaim them Lima losers.
True.
Like he's at the top of the bottom echelon. It isn't like,
it isn't
a big deal. Which, by the BT Dubs,
what did you say?
BT Dubs.
By the way.
Yeah.
BT Dubs. they're doing construction in my school, and the construction company was from Lima, Ohio.
Wow.
Oh, that's like, funny.
I definitely almost took a picture, and I didn't, but I should have.
Oh, you make an interesting point, Ed, where Corey is kind of our... He's kind of our archetype for Lima, Ohio. Like, all the other characters in the Glee Club seem to be kind of out of place, you know, and they don't fit in, and that's why they go to the Glee Club. But you make an interesting point that Finn kind of is a representation of that community, and yet he too is trying to be like, well, you know, I need to do something with my life, but what is it going to be? And maybe that's why he doesn't come off as just empty. There's an interesting comment on the Wikipedia page for the character of Finn Hudson, where they say one of the running gags in the show is that Finn is the character who seems more self-aware than anyone else, often commenting on how the school band is exactly where the Glee Club needs them at any given time. he does seem to be the one who, even though he's a little slow, he's also kind of more in the moment than anybody else. He seems to notice how absurd this situation often is.
That's funny.
I love that he's the one character who, when he tells Rachel that she's crazy, it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Rachel. You know, Rachel is madly in love with Finn. Rachel, of course, is played by Lea Michele, whose history was mainly in Broadway before joining the Glee cast. And, you know, there's so many great Lea Michele songs to play from the soundtrack. She sings on just about every single one of them. But let's go ahead and play a song that she did not perform on Glee. We have some of her work from Spring Awakening.
Oh, I love that soundtrack.
It's a fantastic sound. Yeah, it's great show. Works because it's an actual album. It makes it fun to listen to because it exists both as a soundtrack and as just a good record.
Yeah.
But this is actually her duet with Jonathan Groff, The Word of Your Body, and here's a clip of this.
Just too unreal, all this. Watching the words fall from my lips.
Baiting some girl with hypotheses.
Haven't you heard the word of your body?
Don't feel a thing you wish.
Grasping at pearls with my fingertips.
Holding her hand like some little tease.
Haven't you heard the word of my wanting?
That's Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff there from the Spring Awakening soundtrack. Lea Michele portrayed Wendla in the show. Jonathan Groff, I believe he was Melchior in the...
I forget the characters' names.
In the original Broadway cast. I believe that was 2006. But I don't know. We saw it in L.A., so mm-hmm. We did not see the Broadway cast. We saw the touring cast. When we saw it, Wendla was pretty much topless on stage, so I don't know if Lea Michele performed it that way, but you know, congrats to that. So she's from the Bronx. I find it funny that the Bronx is the name of it is the Bronx.
Yeah, it's
like
not.
There's not a lot of places in America where the name is the mm-hmm. something
like the New York City or the Boston.
Exactly. Her mother is an Italian American and Catholic, where her father is Spanish Sephardic Jewish. She grew up in Tenafly, New Jersey, and went to the Tisch School of the Arts at New York University, but opted to continue working on opted to drop out and work on the stage. She actually has that in common with Corey Monteith. He dropped out of school in ninth grade because he just said he wasn't really into it. Which I don't know if that's the example that they want to advertise, but you know, it worked for them. So.
Well, I mean, anybody who's modeling themselves after an actor to begin with needs to reconsider certain things.
That's a good point. She debuted on Broadway in 1995 as a replacement in the role of young Cosette in the original New York production of Les Miserables. She went on to perform in the 1998 original Broadway cast of Ragtime. She, in 2004, played several roles in the Broadway revival of Fiddler on the Roof, and then got her big break in Spring Awakening. So, you know, Spring Awakening is a pretty interesting, unique show. You know, Broadway historians are already calling that as a big change in the way musical theater is done. So it's exciting to have been a part of that cast. And I think that's probably what paved the way for her being, you know, in Glee. Because Spring Awakening brought a lot of the pop and rock elements into the Broadway stage while still letting it be Broadway. And here is Glee kind of taking that one step further and bringing that into television and letting it still be performance. So, you know, I see a nice progression there. Jennifer's looking at me like I'm a little crazy.
No, you look at things differently, more in-depthly than I sometimes do, so I'm just keeping up.
Well, of course, we all know her best from Glee, and from her performances on Glee. Her IMDb page is pretty much empty. She was a voice in Buster and Chauncey's Silent Night in 1998. She played Sammy in an episode of Third Watch in 2000. And she did a voice in one episode of The Simpsons.
Wow.
And she actually is the voice of Dorothy in Dorothy of Oz, an animated film coming out in 2012. There isn't much about that one yet, but I have heard that was a big announcement when that was on.
Yes,
but she's obviously performed many of the Glee songs and all those things. Again, there's not much to say about Lea Michele, much like Cory Monteith, except that, you know, she did a lot of Broadway. She does not have a particularly long career, but she has many causes that she supports. She is a big supporter of PETA. She's a big supporter of gay and lesbian rights, and has done many events along with Jonathan Groff, her friend. And supposedly she's dating some dude right now.
Yeah, the only thing I see about her is Veer often reports after, you know, alleged reports after award shows or different promotional opportunities that she's displayed some rather unfriendly, diva-like behavior. So
I think we lost Ed. We're getting Ed back now because Ed is the person I want to ask a question about divas to. We are connecting. Ed? Did we lose? We lost Ed. We're going to pause here for a second and then we'll come. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We lost Ed for a second, but we're back with Ed. And Ed, we were talking about the rumors that Lea Michele is a bit of a diva in public appearances and, I guess, at the Emmys, was it?
Oh, it's always some award show.
Yeah, always some award
whatever
show.
Whatever it is.
What do you think about Ed? You seem to be tuned into the divas. Do you think that diva behavior is such a bad thing? Is it warranted in her case?
If she is, it's whatever, but I think people are possibly being a little bit more cynical than they would be because of her success.
Because of her success or because of her
sex? Yeah, because like I don't know, like there's lots of people. The people who are reporting on this stuff are people who are in the same line of work, and I don't know, it could be a little bitter, but I don't know, maybe I'm reading too deep now.
There's always a context issue. There's always the people telling the story, mm-hmm. you know, are going to tell it the way that they saw it, and maybe not the way
was perceived as a diva act, like, I don't know, throwing a fit that there were nuts in her salad when she's allergic to nuts. I don't know. Like that could be perceived differently.
Yeah, you know, or maybe she's just, maybe she's
still
a diva.
Though Whitney Houston, who demanded, like, it was crazy. Oh, I read her demands one time when she performs on something. It's insane.
Who's the one that your coworker was obsessed with? Mariah Carey. When Mariah Carey performs, like, her dressing room must have nothing but pink in it.
Yes, exactly.
I read an interesting article, though, or an interview with Van Halen, where theirs used to be brown M&Ms. Like, on the writer, it said you had to have brown M&Ms. But the only reason they put it on there was because once they got to the dressing room, if they saw the brown M&Ms, then they knew that this venue was taking them seriously and that everything would go okay. It meant that the venue really paid attention, right, as opposed to just brushed them off.
Right, that they read all the terms in their setup as far as, you know, the staging and the lights and so forth. So it was not just... It was testing how carefully they read everything to make sure that their stage was set up properly and safely.
Yeah. But, I mean, requesting only brown M&Ms is a little easier to put together than, you know, some of the crazy stuff that I have read that Whitney Houston writer, Ed. That is pretty insane. And, you know, maybe Lea Michele is a bit of a diva. I mean, we do kind of put a certain amount of requirements on our famous people that they must be nice. And we like, well, and if they're not nice, we get pissed.
I never understood why we required that. I don't get it.
Well, you know, I mean, people want to know that they're famous people are nice, and we do as a society. We kind of feel that famous people owe us a little bit because, in the end of the day, we are the ones making them famous.
Yeah, there's definitely that.
I mean, I don't know if it's right, but you know, there is a certain bit of that.
But you also want to enjoy them and enjoy their success.
True.
And it's hard to if you think they're despicable people.
That is true. It's easier to enjoy them and it's easier to support them if you think that they're friendly and nice and kind of worthy of your support. And if you don't think that they're friendly and nice, but you still want to support them because the work that they create is good, then you feel a little guilty about it. Well, obviously, Lea Michele plays Rachel, and that's really why we're here. So let's talk a little bit about Rachel. Rachel, off the bat, was really, I think, the character people took away. I mean, and the character...
Well,
that...
she polarized people, which absolutely. I think any good thing needs is some form of polarization.
Now, that's a good point, Ed. She did polarize people, because a lot of people don't like Rachel Berry very much. I don't know who those people are, but you know.
I know people.
What are the complaints?
I've heard people being like she doesn't have the right voice for pop music, which I totally think is whatever. I just ignore that statement, but and that she's a diva, or when she's not being a diva, she's too flat. Then, and like, no, I like, obviously I just ignore, but I do hear it. I do hear the complaints.
Interesting. Lea Michele says that she bases Rachel on herself when she was younger. And many people have drawn connections to characters on Gossip Girl, and the Reese Witherspoon character from Election comes up a lot in comparison.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
So, you know, but Rachel is definitely an intense character. She has the two gay dads that are obsessed with her. They have cataloged every single thing of hers in the
Rachel Berry Museum.
Rachel Berry Museum, exactly. She won her first singing competition when she was like 3, I think. She said she was very musically vocal.
I think it was 8 months.
8 months.
It was something ridiculous.
Yes. And they were playing, they would play ballet music into her mother's stomach, so yeah. She came out doing a certain ballet pose, yeah, when she was born. You know, Rachel's one of the characters that kind of pushes the bounds of reality, wherein Finn Hudson very much is a person I know, mm-hmm, a person I've met before, a person that I've been at times. Rachel is a character that, you know, in is very much like Sue Sylvester, who will often say and do things that you're not entirely sure are possible, and in that coin, not entirely sure she means.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. How do you feel about it, Ed? Do you think that Rachel is truthful in all the things she says within the reality of the show? All the things she says are for real?
I mean, it's... She's a character. Like if she was a real person, she would be a character still.
Yes.
And I mean, she's I wouldn't say she's done anything too extreme, but that's coming from me, so I don't know if it's the best compass.
For example, like Sue in one of the earlier episodes says, "You need to do what those do to those kids in your Glee Club what I did to my overbearing mother, euthanize it." And now here in season two, we are going to meet Sue Sylvester's mother, kind of throwing into question a lot of the things that Sue Sylvester said. Was she just making them up? So I wonder how much of what Rachel says she's making up, you know, like being born doing a ballet pose. I mean, if it's truthful,
well, I mean,
within the bounds of the show, I'm
totally
okay.
She won her first singing competition at 6 months or whatever it was, or dancing or... But I mean, it still illustrated the point that she's been doing it forever. So, and the point about Sue Sylvester is she made the point of being cold hearted and not letting her emotions get in the way of her, whatever she was going for. So, I mean, it wasn't true, but it still proved a point.
That's a very good point. The main crux of many episodes is Rachel's obsession with Finn. And my question to you guys, to Ed and Jennifer, what does she see in Finn? Jennifer?
Well, first of all, he's popular. He's cute. He's popular.
And in high school, that's very sexy. Well, in real life.
Well, in real life, you know, yeah. Come on. We're talking pretty honestly here. And I think you were right, you know, well, when you said that Finn expects everybody to be telling the truth, because I think, you know, he tells the truth, and that's who Finn is. So there's something very comfortable about that. Or, you know, it's like, yeah, they always say the girls want to go for the bad guys, but, you know, sometimes you do want the comfortable, safe guy. But, you know, he's cute and popular and probably... You know, the closest thing to popular that Rachel could get. So
interesting, Ed. How do you feel about it? Why do you think that Rachel is so in love with Finn?
I think Jen pretty much summed it up. I mean,
he's
safe. He's lovable. He's popular. I mean, what else does he want?
he's a looker as well. I'm sure that doesn't hurt. I think that part of it too is Rachel seems to be able to bring out a side of Finn's personality that nobody else can bring out. And there's a certain attractiveness in being able to do that with a person. You know, I think that when Finn's around Rachel, he's kind of a Finn that he's not anywhere else. And that can also be very attractive. But she was madly in love with him before she knew that. So it's funny when she said it would, you know, they kind of have to date because everyone's expecting them to. So she had a kind of a dalliance, a side romance with, of course, Jesse St. James, the leader of Vocal Adrenaline. And it's quite obvious what she saw in Jesse, you know, on top of being good looking. But he was very much a male Rachel in a lot of ways. And my question to you, Jennifer, is which one is better for Rachel? Because obviously, if she ends up with anybody, she's going to probably end up, well, with someone else, because that's how television works. Hmm. But, you know, we're going to have a whole season here of watching Rachel and Finn give it a whirl, or at least that's the rumor. But who do you think is really better for her in the long run?
That's really tough. I mean, Jesse could teach her a lot, you know, as far as their interest in music and everything goes. He could be a good, strong mentor. He's older. He seems a bit more self-assured, but they are very much, the same person, and that isn't always good.
That can often kill you.
And I think if push came to shove, I think Jesse would choose Jesse over Rachel.
Well, I think Jesse's the obvious choice as the better one, because when push comes to shove and it comes to Rachel having children with Finn or pursuing a career, Jesse will
tell her to push and go for the dream, and then they would be together. But Rachel and Finn would hit a roadblock, and Finn would want to hold her back, I feel, and Rachel wouldn't. So in the end, Jesse's really the ultimate choice of the two of them.
Interesting. So you think that it's better for Rachel to be with someone that will
that equally as driven and understands.
Yes.
That understands.
He'll definitely, I mean, I think that Jesse will challenge her more. Or
oh, yeah,
would
sure,
challenge
she,
her more
she
artistically.
She lives for the challenge. She lives to be challenged. If she isn't being challenged and overcoming, then what is she doing? Just, like, laying there being awesome. Oh, I'm so awesome. So, I mean, that's no fun.
But, I mean,
and the only reason she likes Finn is because it's a challenge.
Well, but on the other side of the coin, I mean, I think one of the reasons that she likes Finn is that he shows her that success lies in aspects of your life other than performance, and whether or not you agree with that, Edward, that is, I think there's something kind of enlightening and fascinating to her about that. And in the long run, you know, she's going to have to find success in things other than performance, because, you know, she may or may not be able to find happiness in that type of success, and certainly not forever. Whereas I think that I think that a relationship with someone like Jesse, I mean, I don't know if he would bring out that part of her. I mean, when they're old and they're boring and they can't, you know, sing and perform anymore for millions of people, will they still have a relationship? Like, will they still have anything
to
talk
about? I can totally see Jesse and Rachel, like, agreeing to kill themselves before they get completely unfunctional. Like, they're like, okay, we can't do this anymore. We're done. If we're not on top, then we're done. We're just done with this.
Well, that is a macabre way to look at it.
Wow.
Well, that's a, you know, I was just curious what you guys felt about that. That's about all I have about Finn and Rachel. Ed, do you have any last observations about these characters before we leave them?
No, I mean, not really. Just one bit of Glee news, which I think we skipped over, was that the full season soundtrack came out, including songs previously unreleased. For $70.
That's
not that
true.
Oh, wow.
Not that I'm buying it.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And Jennifer, do you have anything lasting about Finn and Rachel?
I like that he referred to her crazy calendar and she didn't even flinch.
Crazy cat calendar, I think. Her, yes.
Her crazy.
But I'm allergic.
Well, you know, it's, if you have any observations about Finn and Rachel that you think should be mentioned, go ahead and send them over. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com and weigh in on that. Thanks to everybody who has emailed us already. And I try to respond to everything, but there were a couple that I missed, so I apologize this week because this week was crazy for us.
Yes.
So I apologize if I did not respond, but definitely send us an email and let us know what you think about the show and what you think about Finn and Rachel and what you think about season 2 coming back. And we will be back next week to discuss the first episode of season 2. Edward, would you like to thank some iTunes reviewers?
Yes. Yoga Bon, Alicia Robertson, Gary Hand, The Mo Man, Gleek Freak, Megan Pitts. I think that's everybody. Thank you for reviewing. We got a lot of reviews.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
You can email us again at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. And you can join the Facebook fan page and talk with other members of the Gleeful fan base. I guess we kind of have a fan base. So that's kind of exciting. So that's cool. And we will be back next week, and we have a new contest that we will be announcing. So get excited
we
about
do?
That. We do.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it in a second. And we'll see how next week goes. So keep your expectations low. Email us with your reactions to the premiere, and we will discuss them on the next episode. Let us know what you thought. We will definitely be talking about what we thought. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We don't even have to talk about what we're talking, or we don't even have to mention what we're talking about next week, because it's kind of a given.
Yay!
So,
so excited! We're,
yeah, it's back, I know. Isn't that yes. crazy?
Anything else, Ed?
Nope, not really.
All right,
I don't know why
I'm too excited to sleep.
Okay, it's Tuesday, so I hope you sleep.
And do you get that reference, Edward?
Oh, it's...
Email us if you got that reference.
Sorry.
For the Gleeful Podcast, apparently last week I said for the Edo Review, for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Peace out, OM Glee, Jeff Hans.
Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Strangers who learn to fall in love again. And I get the joy of rediscovering you. Oh, girl, you stand by me. I'm forever yours. Faithfully.
Noticed on the cover of Journey to Regionals, the album that this song is on, everyone's on stairs, and in the back, Puck is carrying Artie.
Artie, yeah.
Aww.
It's kind of weird.